You're listening to Aging Redefined with your host, Kendra Vallone. This show will give you the tools and information for better health as you age. Now, here's your host, Kendra Vallone.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another show of Aging Redefined. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, and I'm joined by my co-host, who is board certified in pulmonary medicine, internal medicine, with advanced training in anti-aging, Dr. Larry Emder.
Hey, great to be on the show.
Hi, Dr. Emder. How are you doing?
I feel great.
Yeah, feel great. Look great.
I look good.
You know what?
Got a tan.
You do have a tan. I'm very impressed. The show is about healthy aging, but I feel like the majority of what we do is talk about where you just went on vacation.
Well,
because you're a very active person.
Yeah, that's a good thing. I'm just back from Vail, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
I did my second ski trip. Now have 11 days skiing on the slope. Got to use my new skis. I'm a happy camper for sure.
Your new skis and your back that is now healed. For our audience members out there that might have just been tuning in for the first time to the show, shame on you. But Dr. Emder had a bad back not too long ago, and he's out there skiing.
And bad knees.
And bad knee. Well, and carpal tunnel. We could just go on.
This
and
really
on
could
and
be
on,
called the Dr. Larry Emder's Failing Health Show. And what's he doing so he can still be active?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That does make for a really good show. I think the majority of doctors that we do have on the show are yours, actually.
Yes.
Dr. worked on
Emder's
you at some point.
Physician cadre. So, but thanks to them, mm-hmm. I was able to ski 5 days in a row and come back safe. So, it was great. Vail, Colorado, my favorite place to ski. It's a beautiful mountain. A beautiful town.
Why is it your favorite? I mean, there's places all over.
The town is really special. You know, it kind of looks like a Bavarian, very European feel.
Oh, nice.
Phenomenal restaurants, great shopping. But from a skiing standpoint, it's a great mountain that they do probably the best grooming of slopes anywhere in the United States. They've actually expanded now. They have ski areas in Lake Tahoe. I believe the canyons in Utah is a part of their system. And you can even, with their season ski pass, you can even go to Europe and do some places.
So, wow.
Vail Resorts is a big operation now.
Nice. And so did you go with your family or with friends? And I ask this because the last ski trip that you went on a couple of weeks ago, you had your son, and he had an accident, right?
Yeah.
So
he's
do you have
injured.
Updates on him? Is he okay?
So he's 3 weeks in a cervical collar. He broke his neck. But the good news is Emder's healed quickly, so he will ski again. The other thing is he had a hut trip where he was going to go skiing in the backcountry, and they have so much snow. There's a big risk of avalanches, so this may be a good thing that he's not skiing.
Well, God works in
because he'll
wonderful
push himself.
Ways.
But answer to your question, this was a different trip. There were no family members, and instead we met another couple who's actually a little bit older than us. And it's hard to believe there's anybody older than us.
There's so many jokes I wanted to throw out, and I was like, no, refrain, Kendra, refrain.
So when I ski with my son, he tells me, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. My skis are skiing me. And I'm still going down double blacks. But this couple, they were like blue skiers, and they're going, you're the most unbelievable skier in the world. You know, you ski flawlessly. So we definitely enjoyed, skiing with them.
Oh, it sounds like it.
Yeah. In fact, they get up in the morning and, well, for me, it was like really easy because I'm usually out there trying to kill myself going with my bad knees, going down a double black or something, or going down a mogul field. And with them, they get up and look at the grooming report. I mean, I didn't even know what a grooming report is, but that's where you look to see which slopes have been groomed so they're easier.
No kidding.
Yeah. So this is a pretty easy trip for me.
I would be like on the pink slopes. Are there pink slopes? Is that what color
bunnies
are?
There's greens, blues, there's blacks, and then there's double blacks.
Okay.
And, I ski mostly blacks, but I the double blacks.
Because you're out of your mind. Is that even fun, or is it just a challenge?
Oh, it's such a challenge, because it's an adrenaline rush.
You could die, yeah.
Well, actually, someone died there.
Oh my gosh, really?
A 42-year-old lawyer the week before died in a ski accident. They don't tell you what it was. So, you have to really know what you're doing, obviously.
Yeah.
This trip was good for me because the couple we were skiing with doesn't know how to ski. She was doing like everything wrong. So, if I was reincarnated, I would like to be a ski instructor, you know?
Right. There's a movie about ski instructors, isn't
so, it? Anyway, I was her personal ski instructor. So she was like doing everything wrong. What's the wrong way to ski? Well, number one, you should have your elbows. This is the wrong way. Imagine this. You're standing up straight, which brings your center of gravity back. Mm-hmm. You have your elbows out in the air, which you
like looks, at a 90 degree angle.
Yeah, which looks ridiculous. And so she did not look like a skier. And she, okay. they told me before this trip that like 10 ski instructors jumped off cliffs because they couldn't instruct her. And by the end of the week, she's skiing like a pro.
Nice.
And even the, you know, even the husband is impressed. So
wow, the little one-on-one attention.
Yeah.
Did
so,
could her husband ski?
Yeah, he skis, and they're good skiers, but they like the groom runs, and we would get off a chairlift, okay, and then they would take a catwalk to the groomed run, which means as you're skiing to the on this catwalk, you're losing altitude, and then you know, and then you have to pole with your poles. Well, my idea of skiing is you get off the chair wherever it is, and you just ski right down.
Right, that's kind of how I thought it was. Otherwise, there's like an element of cross country skiing.
Yeah, right, exactly.
In that, right?
So I was saying to these people, like, what are you doing? Let's just ski down. We're looking for the groom runs.
Interesting. I had no idea.
Huh. So anyway, you need to ask me why.
I was going to, because you've got another trip planned. Not that you're not busy, you know, at the hospital or anything
but
we'll throw another trip in there for you.
So my passion is skiing. And the last time I checked, it's pretty hard to ski in the summer in the United States. So, you know, if you're going to ski, it's got to be, you know, December, January, February.
Yeah, that's true.
March and April. Sometimes we ski up to July 4th, actually, at Mammoth, but that's not
really?
Yeah. They,
when does that happen?
Every couple of years when they have a big snowfall. It's not going to happen this year, obviously, since we're in the middle of a drought.
Yeah. Though it's raining.
How'd you know? It's raining in the Mammoth?
No. Outside.
Oh, we're going to get rain.
Yeah.
Because that's true. Every morning when I get up, the first thing I do is check the weather report for all my ski areas because, you know, I'm really passionate about skiing. Mm-hmm. But one of the reasons I'm passionate about skiing, though, is a phenomenal sport. You know, we want to be active. Mm-hmm. And what a better way to be active than doing something that you actually love.
Oh, absolutely.
So with skiing, you know, you're outside, number one. Number two, you're getting great exercise. You know, in this case, we're with our best friends. Mm-hmm. So you're on vacation, and rather than just sitting on the beach, you know, eating around and sitting around and reading a book.
Nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing, but if you're, you know, ADHD and,
that's true.
AAA personality, that's, you know, that is not going to work for
AAA.
You.
AAA.
So, great exercise, you're with your friends, fresh air. I mean, what could be better?
Golf. I mean, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, golf. What is golf? I would do golf if you could do it.
Or surfing. Our guest that's on today, she's
surfing.
A big surfer too.
Yes,
yeah, which we should introduce our guest. Not necessarily. She's.
Oh, that we do
know,
have
not
guests.
Ready. Yeah. We do have guests. We have an awesome show. We have Dr. Julie Elmer on, who we've had on. We had on a while ago, but
bariatric
what a fantastic
surgery.
Show! Yeah, for bariatric surgery, she's. Just
the first
world renowned, and we happen to have her in our backyard
first
right here.
Woman in the United in the world to do bariatric surgery here in San Diego, and I'm sure when she's on the show, she'll endorse my exercise program.
Double black diamonds.
Double black diamonds.
And she brought a guest today. Actually, she brought somebody that one of her patients,
Scott Abrams.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have him on the show to talk about.
Phenomenal story. Some amazing pictures. We'll have those posted on Facebook too. But in the meantime, we're talking exercise.
So the one other point here to make about skiing is balance. How important can balance be? You know, you're coming down a steep slope, and you don't want to fall down and break your neck. So it turns out that skiing is phenomenal to work on your balance. And how do you think my balance is?
It's good.
It's not that, it's not as good as it should be.
Probably not, but,
So what it turns out is that after age 40 and 50, a lot of our balance mechanisms or proprioception starts to fail. I didn't think that would happen to me, but I am over 40 by about 25 years. So,
but you're on your feet all day long. Does that have to do with anything as
feet,
well?
Yeah. No, it's just part of the aging process. But,
it's not like the more you're on your feet, the more your back hurts, you have back issues, you start to topple over a little bit. Is that?
Well, I mean, here's what happened. I figured I went to yoga. I never do yoga.
Ooh, yoga's good.
Yoga is phenomenal.
So I hear.
Because, especially in the morning before you go out for the stretching. And, there's all these, women and myself, and we're doing exercises where, I don't know the name of them, where you're standing on like one leg. I couldn't do it. So as good as I thought my balance is, it's not really good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out the article in the Wall Street Journal today talks about time to do balance testing. And they'd go over several things you should do to see, you know, how good is your balance. Four easy exercises, how quickly and comfortably can you stand from a chair? And if you stand with your eyes shut, how long before you start to fall over? And can you stand on one leg without being nudged and falling over? And it turns out that there's a series of exercises we can do to improve our balance.
Really?
Yeah. So
does that have anything to do with, like, vestibular therapy?
Well, that's the problem. One of the problems is your inner ear is, you know, the best, you know, could have issues with that. Your proprioception, your eyesight, you know, can be failing.
Right, which is the whole vestibular therapy idea, right? Like, kind of focusing on something in a distance and...
Exactly. Yeah, so, but the good news is there's things one can do to prevent that from happening. So what are those things? Well, you should walk on unsteady, uneven surfaces.
Okay.
You know, if you go to the park, you should walk on cement, but you should walk on grass, maybe walk on gravel. Easy things to do. You should try going up the steps without holding onto the banister. Okay. When you get onto a bus or a train, rather than holding onto a pole, try to balance yourself on the train while it's moving.
Interesting.
Or the bus. You know, they have exercises here where you stand on a bonsu ball and try to balance yourself. Or even
those are tricky.
Or even when you're watching TV to sit on one of these balls to build up some of your core muscles.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, yoga is cool. And just real quickly, there was one guy in the jacuzzi was doing these exercises. You know, I think we're out of time.
What? Yeah. Oh,
okay. Well, real quickly, the exercise, this guy, I'm having so much fun talking about this. This guy does like double blacks, moguls, which I can't do. And I said, what's the secret? He says, the secret is, well, number one, you need to point your skis right down the hill. And, you know, you have to let the skis ski themselves.
But, have no fear.
But to practice, he says, you go to a bar, stand on two bar stools and try moving your hips back and forth. So I told
that sounds safe.
Yeah. So when we went out to dinner that night, I wanted to do that, but the bartender got upset.
You actually asked him?
He did.
Yeah, I don't even
know. He told me
to
sit down. But anyway, that's my ski story for the week. I need to go ski again to bring another story back.
And there's one right around the corner. But I like your balance ideas because being in my condition, I'm losing my balance. That might be like the big growth of the belly. But other than that, I'm going to focus on those. So, all right. Audience out there, stay with us. We will be right back with Dr. Julie Elner and talking about bariatric surgery.
Tucked away in Lemon Grove is a skilled care and rehab facility to rival any other. Our private and semi-private rooms surround a grand courtyard. Our large physical, occupational, and speech therapy suites, along with our certified wound care team, are a continuum of care from our finest local hospitals. As a Medicare-rated 5-star facility, we're trusted by San Diego's top doctors. Whether experiencing a recent joint replacement, stroke, or pulmonary issues, you can trust Lemon Grove Care and Rehabilitation to get back on your feet and back home. For more information, visit lemongrovecare.com or call 619-463-0294. Lemon Grove welcomes you.
No one wants to think about having a heart attack, but should you or a loved one need life-saving care, you want to go to a hospital that has a track record for saving lives. I'm Dr. Mike Mikowski, a cardiologist at Alvarado Hospital. As a designated San Diego Heart Attack Receiving Center, we recognize the importance of getting life-saving cardiac care. Our state-of-the-art cath labs offer life-saving treatment when you need it most. For information, visit alvaradohospital.com.
Alvarado Hospital is one of the top 15 health systems in the nation.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Aging Redefined. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, joined by my co-host, Dr. Larry Emder, and our special guest today. Well, I should mention first that this awesome show is brought to us by Alvarado Hospital.
Absolutely.
Because Alvarado Hospital supplies us some amazing guests. I mean, we've got world-renowned doctors right in our backyard, right here at the hospital. And one of them today, Dr. Emder, I'm going to hand it over to you so you can introduce her.
Well, you know, usually when I introduce someone, I usually say that they're my doctor. And I'm happy to report that Dr. Elder is not my doctor.
She's not. However, didn't you? You did do something in her office,
yeah,
didn't
actually,
you?
Yeah, actually, and we probably should talk about that.
Well, how about you talk about her?
Well, let's talk about, talk about me all day. I mean, I could do a radio show about Dr. Emder and all his issues. But Dr. Elner is from Funk, Nebraska. There were four students in her 8th grade class, and she's made it big. She went to Immaculata College, which, by the way, is a next door neighbor to Valley Forge Military Academy, where I went to for high school. She went to medical school at Tufts Medical College. She did a residency at the University of Iowa. She's at Alvarado Hospital since 1999 and is actually the first woman to do bariatric surgery. Dr. Eleanor, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
And she's brought a special guest, one of her patients, Scott Abrams, who's 44 years old and had surgery 7 years ago. And he shared this with me at a weight of 340 pounds. And I'm hoping he'll tell us what he's at now. And we'll be able to get his experience.
Well, absolutely. And I can just say, and he looks like a bodybuilder. So you would never know that this is somebody that went through bariatric surgery. We'll put the, we have to put the photos on Facebook.
So, Scott, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here.
And my first question is, you know, I was talking about balance and how important it is for skiing. Do you have any experience with the obese patients? Is balance an issue?
I do. As people lose weight, especially lots of weight very quickly, it can sometimes generate what I call a slingshot effect, where the human body and the back particularly have become accustomed over many years to accommodating a certain amount of weight, particularly in the front.
Yeah.
So especially for men who carry a lot of their weight in their gut versus we ladies who tend to carry it more in our hips and thighs, when people lose a lot of weight from their abdomen, they can sometimes start to get back pain because the back muscles are not accustomed to having to counterbalance a smaller amount of weight.
Oh, wow.
So as part of the exercise program that I recommend for my patients, I always emphasize that it has to involve core muscles. You have to keep up with your core, which are your abs and your back. And that segues into yoga, because yoga, as I have personally discovered, is wonderful for your core. It's an overall kind of total body toning, but it really keeps up with the core. So I strongly recommend to a lot of my patients that they take up a yoga routine on top of their usual cardio and weightlifting.
Now, yoga to me, I did a class like on video once. You know, you get like the P90X thing and they have yoga class. It's like an hour and a half, isn't it? Isn't that a long time? Does it have to be an hour and a half?
It doesn't have to be an hour and a half. I went to some of the 30 to 60 minute classes just so I could have an instructor coach me and tell me where I was making my mistakes in my postures. But because of my lifestyle, I can't be relied upon to be in a certain place at a certain time most of the time. So I just do yoga myself in my front room with YouTube videos. And I've recommended that quite a little bit to my patients who have crazy lifestyles, who don't have predictable schedules. So anybody can go onto YouTube and just search yoga. You can have yoga for weight loss, yoga for sleep, yoga for pregnancy, yoga for any number of
reasons. Yeah, the pregnancy thing I'm interested in.
And you can find videos that are 12 or 15 minutes that are for complete beginners. Anybody can do it. That's where I started. And I started yoga specifically because of my patient's experience.
Really?
So I've had wonderful personal results. I've been an athlete all of my life doing various sports, and I surf all the time. But I have never seen quicker results in the way my body looks than with yoga.
Really?
Wow.
That's where
like
the, that's where the muscles came from. I'm looking at your biceps and the gut.
No, you got to be lifting weights.
Yeah.
I don't do a lot of weightlifting, but I do a lot of surfing.
I was going to say surfing, because you push up on the board. There's a lot to do with
And I do a lot of just lifting of my own body weight, which is what you use in yoga. So the nice thing about yoga is you don't need a lot of equipment. You don't have to go out and buy a huge Nautilus machine. Mm-hmm. You might have a couple of props, including your little yoga mat, so you don't slip on your floor. But it's a very inexpensive way to get an absolutely great workout. And it has improved my surfing. As a matter of fact, none of my friends knew that I was doing yoga behind the scenes. And people started asking me what I was doing because my surfing was so improved. And I said, listen, all I'm doing is yoga.
No kidding.
All the pro surfers do yoga.
So it helps you with balance, I bet.
Absolutely.
So are you able to stand on one leg with your other leg on your knee is what they were doing?
Well, I'm surfing only by accident.
Yeah. I was good for 5 seconds. So I'm going to
work. The tree pose.
Yeah, okay.
Where you put your foot on your knee. Yes, I can do that.
I was on the ankle. I got as high as the ankle.
I just can picture that.
You have to start somewhere.
That's awesome. All right. So, Dr. Eleanor, we had you on a while ago. But for audience members out there that might not have listened to the show, could you tell us a little bit about bariatric surgery just in general? Like, this is, we're talking gastro bypass and gastric bypass, I'm sorry, and but lap band is a little bit different, right?
So that's right. Bariatric surgery is obesity surgery. Mm-hmm. It's actually been renamed obesity and metabolic surgery because we've discovered through more recent research how some of these operations that we're doing now actually change the metabolism. So we can talk about that a little bit more as we get into an article that I brought in. But bariatric surgery is traditionally to help people lose weight, but also to lose the weight-related medical problems, the diabetes, the sleep apnea, the hypertension, the joint pain, the migraines, eczema, infertility. You know, there's a list of medical problems, including an increased risk of cancer, that go hand in hand with obesity. So bariatric surgery is the surgical treatment for the disease of obesity. And the two most common procedures now are the gastric bypass, which is performed laparoscopically. That's still the gold standard. That was invented back in the 60s, back at the University of Iowa, where I trained. And the lap band, which is a less invasive technique.
And that's become very popular these days, right?
It has become very popular because the complication rate is so low. It's a very easy outpatient operation. People come in and leave the same day, and it requires just a maybe 30 or 40 minute operation, whereas gastric bypass is certainly more involved internally. From a technical standpoint, there's more to it. There's more to that surgery. So people are in the hospital about 48 hours. But overall, the long-term results are pretty similar, but they do work very differently. So it's up to the patient and the surgeon to sit down and decide what the patient needs out of a given operation to really pick the operation that is best suited to meet the patient's needs.
So that kind of begs the question. We have a guest sitting right here. What made you choose?
This is Scott.
Scott, I'm sorry. Yeah, Scott, what made you choose the surgery that you did, gastric bypass?
Well, I mean, I've been the type of person that's been pretty much overweight my whole life. And being overweight my whole life, I have tried every fad diet, everything out there. And I just needed something. I needed the proper tool to help me through it. And being something that's tried everything else, it was like, okay, this has got to be something that can work. And this tool works. That's what it's about. The gastric bypass made it so I can control my eating. I was the type of person that I ate for emotional reasons. I love food. I was constantly putting food in my mouth. So it was something that, unlike being a person that has cigarettes all the time or drinking, you can't cut food out of your life.
It was like it's an addiction, but it kind of,
and you have to learn to do it properly. And that's what Dr. Ellner does. She gave me the tool to manage my food intake and to be able to live a healthy life.
Now, can I ask why you picked this surgery over, say, lap band?
Well, when I sat there and I looked at all the different options for me, my whole thing is my appetite. And this tool takes your appetite away. You don't have to worry about your hunger. I couldn't go for 3 or 4 hours without getting a headache and just having that craving. And then as soon as that surgery was done, the craving was gone. No more headaches, nothing.
Wow.
I had to remind myself to eat.
Wow.
And this, you had the gastric bypass.
I had the gastric bypass. And it was 7 years ago, almost to the day, and there's not one day that goes by that I regret it.
Well, I mentioned you had a starting weight of 340. Could you share with us?
Yeah, 340 was pretty much my weight when I first saw Dr. Ellner. It was probably higher, yo-yoing up and down before then, but at that weight, I'll never get on a scale. I didn't want to know how much I weighed. And so I talked to Dr. Ellner, and I listened to a lot of different surgeons out there, everybody's little seminars, but as soon as I talked to Dr. Ellner, you know, you can tell she's a surgeon that cares.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody that just really wants to help you. It's not about anything else except helping people. And I just knew right from the beginning she was my surgeon, and this is what I needed to have done.
And I would assume that the relationship that you have with your doctor plays a vital role. Is that true, Dr. Ellner?
That's very special. And that's one of the things that's unique to this operation is the relationship that I need to develop with my patients so I can coach them in their life circumstances to use the tool. And Scott hit the nail on the head when he described it as a tool. And the success of the patient really relies on their ability to put it to work for them. But everybody's lifestyle is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So I need to be familiar enough with the stressors that my patients face. As Scott mentioned, a lot of us are emotional eaters, whether we struggle with our weight or not. Mm-hmm. So I need to understand that. I need to understand what triggers may be there for my patients in their lives. And I need to understand what their schedules are mm-hmm. so I can best help them develop an exercise program that's really going to be doable and workable for them. So the relationship that a surgeon builds with the patient is really what is going to land the patient in a successful place in the long run.
Right. So sustainable. We've got to take a quick break and hear from our sponsor, but we've got so many more questions. I'm really excited. Yeah. And Scott, I'm really excited that you're here too. So audience out there, stay with us. We'll be right back.
Tucked away in Lemon Grove is a skilled care and rehab facility to rival any other. Our private and semi-private rooms surround a grand courtyard. Our large physical, occupational, and speech therapy suites, along with our certified wound care team, are a continuum of care from our finest local hospitals. As a Medicare-rated 5-star facility, we're trusted by San Diego's top doctors. Whether experiencing a recent joint replacement, stroke, or pulmonary issues, you can trust Lemon Grove Care and Rehabilitation to get back on your feet and back home. For more information, visit lemongrovecare.com or call 619-463-0294. Lemon Grove welcomes you.
No one wants to think about having a heart attack. But should you or a loved one need life-saving care, you want to go to a hospital that has a track record for saving lives. I'm Dr. Mike Mikowski, a cardiologist at Alvarado Hospital. As a designated San Diego Heart Attack Receiving Center, we recognize the importance of getting life-saving cardiac care. Our state-of-the-art cath labs offer life-saving treatment when you need it most. For information, visit alvaradohospital.com.
Alvarado Hospital is one of the top 15 health systems in the nation.
Okay, welcome back to our show on Aging Redefined with our guests, Dr. Elner and Scott Abrams. And a big shout out to Alvarado Hospital, who's sponsoring this segment. So for Scott, I'd just like to back up a minute and ask you, how did you even find Dr. Elner to come in and be evaluated?
Well, at first it was just doing some research online and going to her seminar. Once I actually went to her seminar and just learned everything that she has to offer and the type of person she was, for me, it was a no-brainer. That was it.
What about our website? Was that helpful?
Oh, completely. It has all the information you need to know, before and after photos of patients, how the surgery's done, a video, everything.
Well, for our audience, how do you feel now, compared to when you were, packing 370?
Back when I was heavier, one of the things was just, there were specific things where just walking across a parking lot was difficult. You'd never even walk between cars because you knew you weren't going to fit. I mean, just normal things. And that's all I wanted to do was just feel a little bit more normal. But now I feel like a different person. It completely gave me my life back. It changed my life in ways that I never even dreamed imaginable. I go to the gym 6 days a week.
Wow.
I'm comfortable at the gym.
You got a six pack here.
He looks like a bodybuilder.
It really does.
You never know.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
And I have all Dr. Elner to credit for that. But, it seems like there's nothing I can't do now. Anything I put my mind to and try, I can do it. I mean, physically, my endurance, my strength level, everything, it's just all there now. And the surgery was the tool to make that possible.
So, kind of as a side note, you were telling us that you really weren't the first person in your family to have this surgery, right?
No,
so can you tell us a little bit about that?
My wife had it first. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Elner always says, the man always has the woman go first.
That's right.
My whole thing was I just thought that, I could do this on my own. Do mm-hmm. I really need the surgery? Mm-hmm. I love food. I want to make sure I can eat food. Mm-hmm. Well, she'll have the surgery and I'll just do it with her on the side.
Okay.
That lasted about 3 days.
Really?
Yeah, there's no way without this tool you can do what eat right. the way the gastric bypass needs you to eat. It's just not possible.
How was it watching her go through this? And how far behind were you? When did you jump on the bandwagon?
I was about 2 years behind her.
Okay.
And so basically, she was just incredible with it. I could not believe how well she went through it. Mm-hmm. She was losing weight. Anywhere from 5 to 12 pounds a week.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just coming off almost effortlessly. there's so many things you have to relearn. You have to relearn how to eat.
Okay.
You have to make sure the rules are chew, 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 and you follow Dr. Eleanor's rules. If you follow her rules, everything goes smooth. There's not a problem. I mean, I remember for me, it was Thanksgiving, and I was eating turkey, and I just didn't chew enough, talking to people, eating. You know, you're back in your old way of doing things. And
right.
All of a sudden, it got stuck. And I didn't know what to do. So here it is Thanksgiving. I call her on her cell. She picks up the phone on Thanksgiving, walks me through it, tells me exactly what to do, and I was fine. But these are experiences you go through because you're learning something new. It's changing your body.
Right. You're talking about rules. Dr. Eleanor, what are some of your rules? I'm curious.
Well, there are the dietary rules, and then there are the lifestyle rules. So in terms of diet, we need to focus on protein as maybe 50 to 75% of the volume of the food that you eat in any meal. In terms also of when you eat, what I'm teaching my patients now is to know the difference between a craving and when your body actually truly needs fuel. So I train my patients to understand the chemical signals that their body is sending to them when it's actually flying on fumes and needs to be fed versus the hormonal stimulation of a craving. So that's something that I've actually just learned from successful patients. Mm-hmm. So I'm teaching my patients now how to manage long-term to give the body fuel only when it needs it. But then there are other rules like take your vitamins, drink plenty of water, and make sure that you do the right kind of exercise so you're doing cardio at your goal heart rate when you're in your fat burning range. So you're doing the right kind of weightlifting. And sometimes for women, that's just light weights, but we need to do weightlifting to maintain our muscle mass. So one of the things that I do with my patients in the office is I put them on the magic scale and it tells me how many fat pounds versus fat-free mass, which is bones and muscle. It's everything in your body that isn't fat. So my patients can know on a monthly basis what they're losing. I don't want patients losing muscle because if you lose too much muscle, like going on a crash diet and not exercising, then you have a tendency to gain back more weight than what you lost because muscle burns down fat.
Right.
So if a patient goes on a crash diet, loses a lot of muscle, they'll inevitably regain fat because you lost your army against the fat. So it's important that I track my patients' body fat percent as the weight loss progresses to make sure that it's really healthy loss.
Okay. So these sound like lifestyle changes afterwards, but it almost sounds like these are things that people should be doing even without having that surgery. Would you recommend this?
That's right. I follow these rules now. I figure if I preach it, I should walk the walk as well.
I like that.
And a lot of my girlfriends are on this program as well. So I always invite my friends and colleagues that I work with at the office or at the hospital to come into my office and just do a drop in on us and weigh in on the body fat percent scale anytime they want to.
Which Dr. Emder just did.
Yes.
I did. They ashamed me to come into the office and
I would have gone.
So maybe can you explain what these numbers mean?
So the most important little item that I tell people to look at is the body fat percent. No matter what height we are, our best health predictor is what your body fat percent is. And if I may share your personal details here, Dr. Emder, who's seeming to be preoccupied with losing weight, his body fat percent is 17.3.
So is that good or bad?
That's actually extremely good.
Well, he's look at him. You eat grass. Ooh-hoo. Like you eat lettuce. That's really it. Like you're and you ski. You're super healthy.
He must be eating some protein because he's maintaining a good muscle mass, a body of fat-free mass. So the desirable range, which also prints up at the bottom of the little printout, it looks like a receipt, for a male in his 60s, the desirable range is between 13 and 25%. So he's 17.3.
Wow.
So congratulations, Dr. Emder, you're desirable.
Okay.
And I sent the memo to your
desirable.
Wife earlier today.
Yeah, my wife doesn't always think that. So this, this.
Well, I want to know what protein you're eating because you're a vegan, vegetarian.
Well, I use beans. I get most of my protein from beans. Once or twice a week, I have a protein shake with rice protein. I'm not vegan. I'm vegetarian. So I did have some scrambled eggs.
In the beginning of the show, you were a vegan. But
yeah,
we were also gluten-free in the beginning of the show.
So I definitely get it. And I do eat fish once or twice a week. So we're maintaining our protein. So
got it.
And it's, I'm trying to live the lifestyle. Absolutely. So
absolutely.
I was happy with this result.
And I'm thinking lifestyle would have a lot to do with this, because I know, Scott, as you're saying, this was a tool, you know, it kickstarts you. Right. At the same time, if you're not following these things, there are obvious, I guess.
Consequences.
Yeah, consequences. Definitely. Things that go, I mean, like turkey, getting stuck. But can people gain the weight back if they're not paying attention?
People can gain weight. No one knows instinctively how to use this kind of a tool. Mm-hmm. We weren't born with a golf ball size stomach. And that's essentially what you're left with when you have a gastric bypass or a gastric band. So it's important that I teach my patients how to use that valuable real estate of their golf ball size stomach appropriately. Mm-hmm. But it's really the patient's commitment to follow up with the surgeon in the long run that is the best predictor of a patient's success. Mm-hmm. So that's the big thing that differentiates this operation from any other operation, is that it's a lifetime commitment to follow up with your surgeon. So when you're looking for a surgeon, you need to find one who's really committed to doing lifetime follow-up with you.
Right. And I would assume that this doesn't just happen starting the day of the surgery and then moving forward. Do you kind of have a trial period beforehand where you're both evaluating each other? Are you giving them any rules that they have to clear to? Yes,
there is a pre-op program. Most of my patients spend between 3 and 6 months with me now before surgery, and that's partially an emotional getting to know you period to make sure that we have the right chemistry.
Dating.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Living together before you get married, right. That kind of thing. So we know by the time surgery comes that we have a real honest relationship. And my patients know by that time that I understand their situation. I understand their emotional situation, their home situation. And by that time, they know they can trust me.
Okay.
They know that I get it. So we've gone through months of dieting, behavioral therapy, psychological evaluations, laboratory evaluations, medical evaluations to make sure that the patient is medically prepared for surgery and their risk for surgery has been minimized as much as possible. But also it's important to be psychologically prepared for surgery. Mm-hmm. I encourage my patients to come to the support groups with post-op patients so they can have an opportunity to talk to people like Scott who have been through it, who may be anywhere from 1 month or 2 months out of surgery to people like Scott who are 7 years out of their surgery, so they can really get some input from people who have walked the walk.
Hmm. I'm really surprised. Most surgeries is like one and done. You have the surgery, the surgeon says, see you later. And here we're talking about a 7-year follow-up. I mean, that's impressive.
I always tell my patients that they get follow-up until one of us dies.
Yeah. Well, I think that's really important. And Scott, you were mentioning the website that you'd found, Dr. Elner's website, but people can actually contact you through that, right?
Definitely.
So if they have questions, I'm just curious, are there things that might have happened? I know we're running out of time for this segment, but things that you might have experienced that you weren't expecting to experience, or things that were a little bit harder. But
well,
now we
answer that.
I was going to say now we've run out of time. So, audience out there, stay right with us. We will be back with Scott's answer.
Yeah, he has time to think about it.
Tucked away in Lemon Grove is a skilled care and rehab facility to rival any other. Our private and semi-private rooms surround a grand courtyard. Our large physical, occupational, and speech therapy suites, along with our certified wound care team, are a continuum of care from our finest local hospitals. As a Medicare-rated 5-star facility, we're trusted by San Diego's top doctors. Whether experiencing a recent joint replacement, stroke, or pulmonary issues, you can trust Lemon Grove Care and rehabilitation to get back on your feet and back home. For more information, visit lemongrovecare.com or call 619-463-0294. Lemon Grove welcomes you.
When it comes to treatment of heart disease, there are many choices, but there's no better choice than Alvarado Hospital, right here, close to home. I'm Dr. Mike Michalski, a cardiologist with Alvarado Hospital. I am proud that our specialists bring a level of knowledge, skill, and technology that have greatly improved the lives of those in our community for the past 40 years. For more information about our cardiovascular and stroke services, please visit alvaradohospital.com or call 1-800-ALVARADO.
Alvarado is proud to be part of the top 15 health systems in the nation.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Aging Redefined, this show brought to us by Alvarado Hospital. And Alvarado Hospital has provided us an amazing guest today, Dr. Julie Elner, and she has brought a guest as well. So Scott's sitting here, and he is a patient of hers who has had bariatric surgery, gastric bypass, and looks amazing. I mean, like a bodybuilder here. I know I keep saying that, but I'm just shocked. Right before we went to break, Scott, I was asking you, did you experience anything with this surgery that you might not have been expecting? Because right now it just sounds like, I mean, the word miracle isn't right, but just like the end all be all to a problem for somebody that's got weight issues, you know, but there obviously might have been some things that you weren't expecting. So could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, a lot of the stuff that you're not expecting is just the things that you take for granted. You know how to eat, you know how to drink. I would always drink while I'm eating my food, and there's different processes you really need to relearn, and you pretty much need to start over. You just need to learn how to do everything the gastric bypass way, which is really the normal way of eating and drinking, but because of being obese, you just do things your own way, and that was the biggest thing for me, was just relearning that. But a lot of the things that you have to do is really just, a lot of it is more mental.
Okay.
It's trying to think differently, not to think like this big obese person that everybody's looking at you, being very self-conscious, and just relearning the aspect of socialization, really, with just other people.
Okay.
And you have to learn that you're strong, that you're okay. You can go to get-togethers that are, everything's gathered around food nowadays.
Yeah.
But you can go, you can show up, and you don't have to eat. You don't have to do things. You can make the better decision, and that's what the tool does. It just basically helps you do the right thing.
Gosh, I struggle with that. I go to parties, and even being as social as I am, I hang out at the food, you know, and I'm just constantly like putting something in my mouth. But Dr. Elner, you were saying earlier, and I wanted to stop you because I want the answer, but to be able to tell the difference between being hungry to fuel your body and just eating. So has that been a challenge for you as well?
It was,
Scott?
At first. It was at first, even for the first couple of years, just learning the difference, because my hunger was always based on emotion, was based on a smell, was based on the environment I was in.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to learn that, okay, you know, you have to push that aside and go, okay, what does my body need? And you just learn that by being more active, going to the gym, and really knowing your body. And each person's a little bit different. But Dr. Elner really showed me how to get to the core of what I was feeling and what real hunger really is.
Mm-hmm.
Do you enjoy eating?
I do. I still love food. Don't get me wrong.
Me too.
And, I mean, there's really, when it comes to everything, I mean, everybody says, well, what can you eat and what can't you eat? I can eat anything. I just got to do it the right way. Eat my proteins first and my vegetables and just do everything the right way, and then you're fine. And I still, even 7 years later, I don't order my own food. I still split meals and share.
Really?
You know, I mean, oh, yeah. I couldn't finish a big plate if I wanted to.
They are big, aren't they? Gosh, nowadays you go to a restaurant and it's like massive.
Well, actually, for our audience, that's a great way to control your weight. And that's what I do with my wife. We share an entree and then the veggies. And that's how I'm able to keep this great profile, keep my weight down. And, and then you find over time as, you know, you
can't you? Aren't you supposed to have as many vegetables as you want?
Yeah, I love the vegetables. I mean, yeah. I'm a vegetarian. Yeah. But the key is, I don't want to eat as much food. You know, your appetite changes.
And there's a technique for doing that on your own, too. I mean, if you don't go out with somebody to be able to split a meal, you can order a meal and kind of cut it in half and order a doggy bag right away.
Absolutely.
And put that in there. People might look at you strange, but I don't know. I've had experience with that.
So an interesting article that Dr. Elner was referring to is that bariatric surgery actually is an anti-aging process. Can you expand on that?
That's right.
I'm surprised.
The first study of its kind came out of Stanford very recently, showing that bariatric surgery, the gastric bypass, which is Scott's operation specifically, may reverse the aging process at the chromosomal level. One of the things that we know about obesity and the disease of obesity is that it actually accelerates the aging process, not only physically in the way a patient looks and feels, but also at a chromosomal level. The telomeres, which are little protective caps on the ends of our chromosomes, which kind of act like the plastic tips on the ends of shoelaces to keep them from fraying, they act on chromosomes to stabilize the chromosomes. And part of the aging process that is accelerated with obesity is that these protective caps, these telomeres, start to break down, and that's a marker for aging. So what this study showed was that some of the patients who had gastric bypass surgery had that aging process stop, and some of the patients had the aging process reverse. So these telomeres, these protective caps, actually lengthened and grew. So one of the things that Dr. Emder and I were discussing before the show was the fact that morbid obesity takes 10 to maybe even sometimes 20 years off of your life. So perhaps some of this is due to the accelerated aging process that obesity causes. But now this new can of worms has been opened up, showing that gastric bypass may actually help reverse some of that. So it's really very exciting.
Now, is it gastric bypass itself, or is it the act of losing weight?
It's the gastric bypass itself, which causes metabolic changes that start this process. And that's why it's been renamed metabolic surgery, because the more research we do, the more we discover about the metabolic processes that change in your body when you have gastric bypass. We don't know why diabetes and hypertension disappear as soon as the surgery is done, but I'm sure they'll eventually get to the bottom of that. But that also has a basis in your metabolism.
So, you know, these love handles, you know, everybody thinks that the fat is a benign process, but it actually is releasing hormones and inflammatory agents. If you have love handles and fat in your midsection, you probably have fat around your heart. So there's, you know, huge reasons to control your weight. And if you're obese, to consider the gastric bypass surgery, because that, you know, those love handles is not a benign appearing process.
It's not a cosmetic procedure. Right. That's one of the things that I always try to drive home in my educational lectures, is that obesity is not a cosmetic issue. It's a disease that will kill you, and patients and their families and their doctors need to understand that it is a disease, and fat is not just an accumulation of extra tissue. It's really very, very active in your body, and it affects just about every organ system in your body.
So, I mean, for our audience, if you are obese or morbidly obese, you have increased incidence of cancer, heart disease, hypertensive heart disease. So there's a lot of reasons to get serious about losing weight. And if you can't do it on your own, understand there is a surgical option, which most insurances cover because they realize it improves their patient's mortality.
That's exactly right. The insurances recognize that they're ultimately going to spend more money taking care of all the illnesses that morbid obesity brings with it. So they're much happier about paying for a lap band or a gastric bypass, because they know that the vast majority of those illnesses are going to go away very quickly, costing them less money in the end.
Got it. In our last few minutes here, can you tell us who's a good candidate for this, and also about one of the upcoming events that you've got?
The candidacy for surgery is really based on your body mass index, which is one of the things that Dr. Emder had measured in my office today.
On the magic scale.
On the magic
22.6, something like 23.6.
Perfectly normal. The candidacy for surgery begins at a body mass index about 30 or 35, which for most people calculates out to maybe 75 or 80 pounds over their ideal body weight.
Okay.
So that's where people start to think about surgery. But most people who come to me wanting surgery are like Scott, where, you know, they've tried everything else. This isn't the first attempt that they've made at weight loss. They've been trying for years and perhaps decades to lose weight. And they may have lost 40 or 50 pounds, but then gained back 60 or 70 pounds. So by the time people come to me, they have exhausted their other attempts. They know that diets don't work. Diets can be effective for people with maybe less than 50 pounds to lose, but when you have that genetic predisposition to morbid obesity, there's a 98% failure rate with the diets. So it's those patients that are coming to me wanting surgery.
Okay. And for those people that are out in our community in San Diego, you have something coming up that you have to talk about.
We have a really special event coming up on March 20th. I give lectures at Alvarado Hospital every couple of months, but because so many people who, like Scott mentioned, are considering surgery and they're concerned about what they can eat after surgery, will they look normal? Will they feel normal if they go out with friends to a restaurant? So I decided to prove it. Mm-hmm. We've hired Chef Jeff from Terra Bistro,
which is an awesome restaurant for those that have not been out there, right in East County, isn't it?
It's a wonderful restaurant. It's a farm-to-table restaurant. He really focuses on using as many organic ingredients as possible. And I'm working with him on the menu to create a bariatric surgery-friendly meal. So people who are coming to this lecture can sit down to a free meal that would be the type of meal that they would be able to eat after surgery. And I think they're going to be amazed at how good the food really is.
Oh, how awesome.
And that's March 20th at 6 o'clock.
That's right.
And how do they sign up for the...
The patients can register through the alvaradohospital.com website, or they can register through my website at elnerbariatric.com.
Okay, and we'll also put it on our Facebook page. So for the audience out there that's tuning in, do hit us up on Aging Redefined Radio on Facebook. And of course, we've got podcasts too, so you can check that out. And if we talked about anything that you want to hear again, feel free to download it.
I'll put some of my skiing pictures up. see how good I really look at 65. BMI of 23. I'm impressed.
Well, yeah, and we'll have Scott's pictures up because those are really what's gonna.
look at me first, though. Because I'm not gonna look as good as Scott.
Scott will be at the lecture. He does a lot of public education with me, so Scott's a very special patient to me. So people can take Scott aside after the lecture and ask whatever personal questions they might like to ask, and Scott will be very honest with them.
Awesome. Well, great. Dr. Elner, thank you so much for being on the show. And Scott, same to you. We really appreciate your time. So, Dr. Elner, if patients want to get a hold of you or see your skiing photos besides our Facebook page, how can they do that?
My office number is 619-286-8803.
Okay. And again, check us out on Facebook, Aging Redefined Radio, and our podcast as well. You can download that anytime and listen to it in your car, day or night, 24 hours a day. We are that exciting. So thanks so much for tuning in to us today, and we will talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Aging Redefined with your host, Kendra Vallone.